Chris, and greetings to each one present again this evening as we continue to look at this pathway to freedom and how God's laws guide our lives. And we don't claim it to be a ladder to climb on, but it's a mirror that exposes our sin, which leads us to fulfillment and freedom, peace, and contentment. So we look at the third commandment this evening. As already stated to us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So we look at this third one again, our man's relationship to God. We have one more, but if we don't get the basis right, as we look at these, sometimes we say, well, you know, they're running pretty close, and the first three and four do. But if we don't, it's a little like the Bible. If we don't take the first six chapters of Genesis, you might as well just forget about the rest too. And it's the same way with these commandments. It almost seems a little bit redundant on some of these. But brethren and sisters, if we don't get our foundational facts set straight, what are we going to bounce off of? What are we going to live off of? What are we going to make life's decisions out of during the day when life's responsibilities call heavy and we think, well, you know, how do I handle this moment? If I don't have my basis right, I don't know how to handle the as a spread out in life. So we get these first three, and if we look at what's in, we might say, okay, the name, and it's getting our relationship with God, the idea of the name and the misuse of it. And it was appalling to me as I studied this, because I thought, well, this would have to do with swearing, and it does, but it goes a lot further than that. So what's in a name? Names are important. Names are very important to mom and dad. I suspect there's a couple in this congregation that is right now is probably writing some names, and they're talking, and maybe they have one of them books. I don't. Did we have one of them books, honey? I don't think so. One of them books that say what names mean and so forth, you know. And we look at it, and we try to decide a name. And names are important. I think parents should give very careful consideration to naming their children, and so that it is important. It's important to God, and it's important to us. And as we look, I remember as we were looking, and just sort of, I was sort of submitting myself to the idea that I'll be the father of all girls, you know, and. We were hitting down the fourth and fifth one, or we weren't sure how many yet, but anyway. And my wife suggested the name Sheila. I said, oh, no, honey, not Sheila. Oh, no. That one place I stopped at. When I started driving egg truck, and I worked hard then, you know, loaded eggs all day long. And I stopped for chocolate milk and a couple, all the energy I needed, you know. And that one clerk, I mean, her name was Sheila. You know, Sheila, and I said, Sheila Schnoop. No, that don't work. So we don't have a Sheila. But it is important that on the name we choose. And one of my pastor friends said that he has this one friend that was a lawyer, and his name was Odd, O-D-D. And people would call, hell, is this the Odd lawyer firm? Yes, this is Odd. And he got so tired of his name Odd throughout his lifetime that when he wrote his will and testament, he said he does not want his name on his tombstone, because he had enough of it, and he don't want. So he said he wants in his tombstone, here lies an honest lawyer. And people would walk past his tombstone and say, well, no, that's Odd. So there is something to a name. Names mean a lot, horizontal. God knows our name. Our name is written. My name, your name, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So names are important, not only to us. They're important to God. They're important to the horizontal, and then you take the vertical. They're important to people around us. People say your name, and they say my name. And when my name is said or your name is said, oh, yeah, I know him. And, you know, all of a sudden there's a couple pages unfold in our mind about that person. And that's how it should. That's fine. But names are important as we keep them in a perspective in the name of the Lord, and we don't take that in vain. So as we look at the third commandment and we think of the name of the Lord and how we need to obey it, it's important for us to honor the name and keep honor the name as we use it in our language, honor and respect it, and that we don't misuse it. It's very important, and it's very easy for us to misuse the name of the Lord. But it is, as we understand who he is, who, again, back to who he is, who we are, and how we interact. And we need to get that set so that that works as we live out the last six commandments, which have to do with our relationship with others. Because if we don't care about our relationship with God, we're not going to care about our relationship with others. So it's very important that we honor God and honor his name and know who he is and understand what he is about and the preciousness of it. When the Bible uses the name Lord, there's various times throughout the Bible it's wrote capital L-O-R-D. And it's also wrote capital L, then lowercase O-R-D. And when it's capitalized, when all four letters are capitalized, it's referring to the Hebrewistic use of the name. When in the Hebrew time, and it was referred then to as Yahweh. And I know we don't use that a lot, but in early Bible times, it was used more. And it was an important name. It was precious. In the Jewish calendar, the name of God was only pronounced once or twice a year at the Day of Atonement. And because it was sort of, it was so precious. And do we honor the name of God? Do we honor his name? Do we honor him as Lord of our life and honor him in the way that we should as we hold an honor for him and we lift up to him? He is our high priest, and he is the one who we find our atonement through. We find our salvation for us today. So as we look at more the matter of a fact, and the name of God is supremely precious. As we turn with me to Exodus 33, as we get to look a little more at the preciousness of a name and how it holds the value and how we put a value to it. It's difficult for us humans at times to put the amount of value to it that we should. Exodus 33, yeah, I'd like to start with verse 17. Exodus 33:17, and we want to see here the encounter that Moses had. And a lot of times, as we to really get what the name of Jesus means and what name of God means, the Lord, and then we were, as it moved on in when his son was born. But at this time, as Moses was the encountered and the encounter that Moses had with God, and starting at verse 17 of chapter 33, Even I need to go up to verse 13 too. Now therefore I pray thee, I find grace in thy sight, and show me thy way that I may know thee, and am I find grace in thy sight, and consider that this is a nation of people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. Moses was called, and Moses was called to work and to lead the people. And Moses wanted God to affirm and confirm what he was supposed to do and the calling that was coming upon his life. And in verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses wants to be confirmed by God in the calling upon his life, and the importance and the presence and the power that is behind the name of God as God was speaking to him. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show thee mercy of whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. So as Moses wanted to see, and then he knew that God was speaking to him, and he wanted to see God's face and to put a name to a face to his name. And we see this through the first three commandments, that no one saw the face of Jesus, and no man will see it, of God. No man will see the face of God and live. And that seems almost vague of why, you know, why God is so precious, and that we can't see him and live. But that is helping to express the preciousness and the depth and the power that is behind, and we'll see that is behind the name and the face of God, and that we man cannot see. And then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. God and Moses are interchanging, they're dialoguing here. God is making himself clear to Moses, and Moses, and they're dialoguing, and he says in verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but not my face shall not be seen. So we see that Moses was longing for, wanting to see the place of Jesus and the face of Jesus. Then we go down, and we'll skip a few verses and go down to chapter 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended, and the cloud stood with him, and there he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord, the Lord God. And now we see, before I read the rest of the verses, he proclaimed the his name, God, and then he puts character into the rest of that verses, puts character traits in the name of Jesus. What does the name of God mean? God is merciful, he is gracious, he is long-suffering, he is abundant in goodness and truth. So as Moses is longing to understand the name of Jesus and see the face of Jesus, that God is putting a character traits into what his name really means. It is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in long-suffering and truth. God's name is precious. By his name he reveals all he is and what he does as he goes through these verses to Moses. And this was written for you and I, that we would see more. Now let's turn back to Exodus chapter 3 as we look a little more at Moses dialoguing with God and what the name of Jesus meant, of God meant, sorry, what the name of God meant to Moses. As Moses longed for this, we can long for the same thing as well. And in Exodus 3, verse 13, right as Moses had the encounter with the burning bush, and after that, and then in verse 13, and he said, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto thee, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say? They're still seeking and longing for what the name of Jesus, of God, is. And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me unto you, and this is my name forever, and this is a memorial unto all generations. So Moses was longing to see the face of God and wanted to understand more. And we still long for that today. It's so precious, and it's hard for us to fathom and understand. But he said, just say, I am that I am. And that's why that's referred to some 80-some different themes throughout the Bible, and 80 different times of how that God calls himself I am. And it's hard for us to understand this self-sufficiency. Someone who depends on no one. He is sovereign. And he is sovereign and stands alone and cannot be compared. God is plural, perfect, powerful, and praiseworthy. God is plural, part of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he is perfect. He is powerful, and he is praiseworthy. Psalms 20, verse 7 talks about some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God as we find ourselves faithful to what our calling, and the psalmist is writing, and to encourage us that we trust in God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God, and will sanctify it, keep it pure, and realize the power that God has for us and how he provides for us. John 17:6, John writes, Jesus in his triumphal prayer, I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou gavest me out of the world. Thine and thine were they that thou gavest me, and they have kept my word. This is significant in our love and the love that God has for us, and how his name is praiseworthy. And he is powerful, he's in control, and he's influencing too for us. And we need to grasp the significance of this commandment, that God is eternal, God is final. He's not something made up of the world. We talked in the other two commandments, he's not something of our own thinking or what we would like him to be, but he's not made up of the world. He is powerful, and he comes from nowhere and makes something, and he's always been, and we can't fully understand that, but we can grasp the importance of that. Sometimes we we find that people want to make God to fit themselves, and we talked that a little more in the other two, to make God to fit our size. But we need to hold him in honor and in what he does for us, as we find him being the God one in three, and we fully, it's inexhaustible, and it's a little difficult for us to understand, but we know that his name is precious, and it is sacred, and it's important for us. In Genesis 1, in the Creator, God is honored. Do we honor God as our Creator, where he took nothing and made something? He took nothing and made the world. He took something and he made, or took, then he took dust and made us. And this is the kind of God that we are serving as we look to him. God is self-existence. He put the stars into place and they stay there at his command. So we find him, he is sovereign. We find him being sovereign of the Most High. Genesis 14 would talk about that. Do I believe in the sovereign rule of God? Do I worship him? Do I understand who he is, accept him who he is, and realize that all come from him and all is of him? And that I find that he is my provider. He is my care. He cares for me. He provides for me. Do I really trust him in daily cares as life unfolds day after day? Do I really trust that his name is worth it all? His name is holy, and that he will provide for me, and I'll respect that. And I'll, Abraham and Sarah, as they waited on their son, Abraham and Isaac, as they went on their journey, and Abraham as he offered up Isaac, then later on in life, and to realize that God would provide for him. And God is our provider, and his name is one that we need to reverence and honor. How do I take the name of him upon my lips? As we look at thinking of taking the name of the Lord in vain, of undercutting, diminishing, taking jokes, taking the name of God lightly. First, as was read in our devotions, we would curse, would really just swear by. But many of us sitting here tonight say, well, you know, we probably don't have a big problem with that. But there are a lot of bywords and ways that we would use the term. We hear the term sometimes, God Almighty. And if that's used in the right setting, it's okay. But many times, or too often, we use it lightly, and it's dishonoring the name of our Savior. It's taking the name of God in vain, and we need to be very careful. Another term we may hear sometimes is, well, sweet Jesus. And again, some of these terms sound all right, but if we're not careful, they're used in a slang way, in a light way, in a way that is not really honoring the name for what God is. Or, Lord, have mercy on me. And well, there's sometimes we may sincerely need to call upon the mercy of God. I understand that. But if we're not careful, we can use it in a slang way. Another term we may use is the man upstairs. We need to be careful. And some of these terms that we use, they're undermining the name of Jesus. They're using the name of God in irreverence, in disrespect. Or another term we may hear is, oh, somebody up there. We need to refer to him as God, our loving Father, not the man upstairs. Sometimes you may even, at times, Jesus Christ is spoken of carelessly and hypocrisily, where it's in hypocrisy, it's in a disrespect, it's in a dishonor of who God is. and we're taking his name in vain because we're undercutting who he really is. Then we can just simply swear by it. You know, we just take his name purely, bluntly, in vain. And again, maybe most of us sitting here tonight say, well, I don't do that. I'd never do that. But if we're not careful, we find ourselves using it in a disrespectful way or a pure cursing way. And we need to be careful that we don't move and lose a disrespect for the name of Jesus, because the reason that we would find ourselves using these kind of terms or even swearing is because a pure swear, as we would look at it, goddamn and on we could go on those kind of pure, what I call pure swear words, that we only going to use those when we become uncomfortable and there's indication that I've lost my respect for the name of God and that I don't believe that God is my provider. Mentioned earlier, he's our provider. Do I believe in the daily cares of life that God can provide for me? Lying, sorcery, witchcraft. We're living in a world where this witchcraft and demons and evil-spirited things, and if we're not careful, we get caught up in these closer than what we'd like, and we're using it as a disrespecting the name of Jesus. The other week, I was trying to get a building permit to build a building at home, and we went back to have a hearing, you know, and we walked into the hearing room, and they said, well, you know, will you swear in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, that everything, hold your hand in the Bible, you know. And I don't know, maybe some of you don't get into that, but you don't lay your hand on the Bible and you don't say, I swear by the name of God to say everything that I'm honest. Everything I say will be correct and right. I affirm. So we don't swear an oath because it's disrespecting the name of Jesus. And we as Christians, and we live in a land and we appreciate the opportunity that we're offered in our land of freedom, that we don't have to swear and we can affirm that we will tell the truth. Amongst life's responsibilities, as we think of God being our provider and he cares for us, as we think about handling daily life's responsibilities, maybe for a mother, doing the house care, the home care, the duties around the home. We men go to work and we work with unsaved people and in unsaved conditions and around them kind of people. And do we really believe that God, his name is powerful, he is Almighty God, and he will provide for me, and he will handle all of life's storms for me as I handle and put life together. Yahweh, his name also means peace. His name meant provider. His name also means peace. He is the Lord of my righteousness. It is because of his son Jesus that has come and stands in the way that I can be uncondemned because of who Jesus is within me. So the name of God and then his son Jesus as it comes to us. And the name of Jesus is full of doctrinal content. Psalms 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's where you and I find our strength. Finding God and then kind of moving into his son Jesus and how that has brought us in and is a strong tower for us. And we the righteous, we who are in a right relationship with God, run into it. And there we find safety with life's struggles. When the Lord's life struggles comes and The temptations surround around us, and we're tempted, and we're caught off, we're called on duty, that we can call on Him and realize who He is, and realize a name that God is, and God is in Christ, and He is a great truth. And we can find truth in His Word. We are sort of living in a time where one commentator put it, the soundbite Christians, you know, short little pithy statements. And some of those are good. And they have a way for us to understand things. But we need to get the solid basic truth, the doctrinal truth of who God is, what His name stands for, and how we need to respect Him in using His name, and we don't use it in vain. And we draw, and that we have a substance to draw on. And that's when we understand who God is and who we are and how we relate, it gives us a substance to draw on, and we can handle the struggles of life. When the heartstrings are tugged and life's experiences unfold, and we can find ourselves coming faithfully back to who God is and understand who He is and what His name really means and what it means to me. And it is because of God and His Son Jesus and the name of God that we find our strength as we bring a balance to life. So how can I break the third commandment? One would be by blaspheming the name of God, swearing, straight out swearing, so using the terms that you bring God into swearing, or treating it irreverently. This blaspheming the name of God. I don't speak respectfully of the name of God and of God Himself. And blaspheme would also be in using it in defiance of who He really is. I put God in a box where I want Him, and then I use His name in what suits for my situation. And that's taking Him out of His true meaning of who He is and what He is, and that I need to be careful, and I can blaspheme the name of God, or in perjury. Perjury would be another way that I break the third commandment. That's simply lying, telling a total untruth about a situation, or a falsehood about God, or I am one of His children. And then I am not truthful, and I'm not honest, and I'm blaspheming and being disrespectful to the name of God. Another one, it'd be hypocrisy. Another way that I can break the third commandment is being hypocritical, kidding. We need to be careful how we kid and say, "Well, I was just kidding," and we use the name of God in vain, disrespectfully. It's dishonoring who God really is, what He's done for me, what He can do for me, and what He is doing for me, and what He will do for me. And I can be hypocritical about what I am professing. One thing, I'm professing that I'm a child of God, I am His son, and now I disrespectfully use His name and disrespect His name, and that's being hypocritical. I'm saying one thing and I'm saying one thing and living another thing. So when we incorporate the name of God, and our words are to be yea and nay, and we had that in our devotions here, so we're to be yes and no. When we make a vow, in we incur His name if we break it. If we make a vow, and we vow we're going to do this, And we're going to do that. And we break the vow. We're also dishonoring his name because I made it in a respect of who I am, a child of God, and I'm dishonoring his name when I break that vow. Reverence to the fundamental of who God really is. So that doesn't allow, I break it when I participate in dirty jokes, shady things. I remember so well when, I know you got two school bus drivers here, but I remember so well when I was put to test of this when I drove school bus, and we had 8, 9, 10, or 12 drivers get together there in the morning, and it was just a time of dirty jokes, and I just didn't have coffee. I didn't go there, and after a while, I got to the point where here comes Dale, so they'd stop jokes in the middle. What happens when you walk up to a group of people, a group of unsaved people? They knew that I didn't like the dirty jokes. They knew I didn't participate in them. And it takes, in that setting, to walk away from a group of drivers, to turn my back and walk away when they start, that wasn't easy. It took some real grit, if you want grit. You know what that means out here? You know, it took some real grit to just turn and walk away because it looked like I was disrespecting them. But after enough of times, they knew I wasn't going to stand there and participate because I was human enough, and they sent some of those, and they were funny humanly, and you can't always hide all of that. And to a couple of times, I said, see, Dale's laughing, you know. And I just had to walk away. So are we willing to not dishonor our name? Because they knew I was a child of God, and they knew that that was not what I really wanted to do and what I wanted to participate in. So we need to find that we're not involved in them. Even doing them is even worse yet, but that it is a challenge for us. Another saying is sometimes you hear people say, you know, good Lord is another one sometimes, or my God. And I know my mother always taught me pretty stiffly, you know, any extra word, even though it may not be necessarily a swear word or a slang word, but depending how I would say something, and I'd put extra words in there, and I would, wait, you're going a step too far. And this is all in dishonoring the name of Jesus and the name of God. We can break the third commandment when we may sing songs like we sang some very special songs tonight, but we may sing in church more love to thee, you know, and God will take care of you. And we sing that, and then on the way home we complain and grumble that God isn't providing enough money, and he didn't do this and he didn't do that, but we sat in church and sang powerfully, oh, God will take care of me. We're blaspheming the name of Jesus when we sing it in church and then don't live it afterwards. These are just some of the ways that we need to be careful. When we worship with our lips and not with our heart, that would sort of be indicating the same thing, is the way we can break the third commandment. We say one thing with our lips and our heart is saying something else. And we need to be careful. When we engage his name in our life, that we begin to hallow his name in honor and worship. We want to honor his name and worship and not engage it other than when we are really worshiping him. So we need to find ourselves in keeping the third commandment and the depth that it means for us and the yearning that it fills within our heart and our soul, that we long for the name of Jesus and that we honor who he is. And we respect him because his name is holy. His name honors a whole lot more. It showed the mercy, his loving kindness, the characteristics that were about his name. When we say our name, there is more story goes behind our name. And so we need to see that we hallow his name, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So the challenge for us tonight, as we think of taking the name of the Lord in vain, that we honor him for who he is. And his name, it speaks of him, his total characteristics, his total abilities and gifts, and who he is and what he does, and that we respect him for that. So I trust as we continue with we put the three tomorrow night, it'll be remembered Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's going to take a little different twist from the first three. It's going to start the shift into the last six. So may the Lord bless you, challenge each one of us to keep hallowing the name of Jesus in our tongues, in our hearts, and in our lives.